This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
The thing I wanted to mention, if I may, is that if you recall, Israel did a sneak attack on what they said was a nuclear power plant in Syria.
Oh yes, I remember it. I remember looking at the satellite photos and thinking to myself, if that's a nuclear power plant, where is the logistics for it? Where is the power supply? Where is the cooling? It's not there.
Exactly. But anyway, the point I wanted to make about that is that the Israel Air Force managed to disable the Syrian air defense mechanism.
Well, that seems to be true because they seem to be able to go in there and just blow up what they want.
Which is just amazing. I mean, I haven't read any place since then how they were able to do that. So the point is that when you mention these S-300s, I don't know that they might be the game changer you think they are. I mean, clearly it's dangerous, but I'm just saying that...
That's a good point. I mean, and I have read information to that effect, saying that S-300s are no good because Israel has figured them out. That could be true. I don't know.
Also
true that the factory in Russia that makes them continually updates them. So. I don't know. I mean, but, you know, if they function, heck yeah. And Israel obviously thinks that they are a game changer because they said that they'd blow up a Russian ship supplying them, which is a hell of a thing to say.
Well, I think they also said that they said to Syria that we're going to be free to strike you at any place, and if you retaliate at all, we're going to take you out, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know if this is worth mentioning either, but you're familiar with the Project for a New American Century.
Yes.
And the paper they wrote, which is Securing the Realm, which was for the first Netanyahu administration. And in there, in the original, in any event, I believe they laid out what countries had to be taken out. And Libya was mentioned, Iraq was mentioned.
Oh, the famous list of countries, yes. I should look that up, Securing the Realm. I should memorize
Syria
that.
Syria was on that list as well. Libya, Iraq, Syria, and of course, ultimately Iran, ultimately Egypt, as a matter of fact.
So, okay, well, here's the deal. I want to find a way to have that same Facebook sort of effect against this brewing war. I don't want a world war over this. Of course, no one does. But I kind of want to set people to thinking, what's the best way to organize and actually have an impact in the press or wherever, in people's hearts and minds, against going to war over this stuff? And the thing is about Israel, I'm not anti-Israel. I am certainly against Israeli militarism, imperialism, apartheid, and all those ugly things that I can say, and which I don't often... I probably don't say it often enough because I feel hypocritical saying that because I'm an American citizen and I was brought up a Christian, you know, the famous story of Jesus saying, you know, take the log out of your own eye first. So I want to take the log out, but oh my gosh. And of course, it's all entangled because the U.S. funds Israel to such a great degree. Thanks for your call.
Tweedledee and Tweedledum.
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
They're partners in crime, that's for sure. But I mean, this spreading the word that you're trying to promote, you can't assume that because the majority of people are for something or for they're against it, that the government is going to respond to the wishes of the populace.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. No, I'm trying to make. Well, I think that there is momentum versus Monsanto. It could turn into something.
Yeah.
It was millions of people. It is something that those millions of people will remember. It is not sufficient. It can't stop here by any means. It has to exponentially increase before we can shut down that criminal corporation. So I see this ray of hope and I grab it, and that's just the way I am. And, you know, if I want to be really realistic, I think, oh my God, we are under the sway of a juggernaut.
Yes.
Of corporate might,
yes.
And it seems probable that we will not escape it. I don't care. I'm going to be defiant until my last breath because that feels good.
I love it. That's what Hedges says as well. Chris Hedges said, you know, you got to put your life on the line for this.
And you never know. Things could change in an instant, and they have in the past. So let's go.
Yeah, right. We'll get hit by an asteroid tomorrow, too.
Could, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Funny you should mention that. there is... A number of, well, there's at least one large rock coming this way. And the last time There was a space rock coming this way. It was supposed to be by itself, and that gigantic rock went sailing past Chelyabinsk, lighting up the landscape and scaring the crap out of everyone. So I think that when you hear from the astronomers that a huge rock is coming, it's possible it's not by itself. It could be there's some other rocks coming. Who knows, really? Number to call, 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. Getting back to dealing with Monsanto, with corporate hegemony, with corporate war hegemony, with defiance, with the possibility of suddenly turning things around. I'd like to think in that in those terms. Jack is on the air.
Yes, hello?
Hello.
Right. The program that was on just before yours was about encouraging investment funds that are owned by pension funds and that sort of thing to divest from investments in private prisons. Okay, we've seen the over the years we have seen divestment movements have more effect, it seems to me, than protests. We had millions in the street protesting the launch of the last Iraq war, and it didn't do much of anything.
Now we're obviously talking, so divest Monsanto is what you're saying?
Divest Monsanto, divest Lockheed, divest Boeing, you know, whomever is the major corporate players in the military-industrial complex and in this food, whatever you want to call it. Some people are calling it a conspiracy. If you were really into the conspiracy game, you'd call it planned population reduction. You know, you'd say it's a Malthusian conspiracy to knock the population down to whatever the target levels are. We heard Kissinger talking about useless eaters some 30 years ago, and many people are talking about this. It's hard to find evidence to support it substantially, so a lot of it's speculative.
But if you look at what they're doing, they didn't even have to have a meeting. You know, and that, the thing I like to say about conspiracy is to paraphrase Michael Parenti on that. It's like, conspiracy? Are you saying that rich people get together in a room and close the doors?
Right. Yeah. That. Or George Carlin. You mean you think they'd leave it up to us?
Yeah.
But moving on to the Syria issue, the really disturbing thing about it, to me anyway, is hearing how the so much of the so-called left progressive media has been taken on a ride. I see it in the demonization of Assad, and we saw it in Libya too, the demonization of Gaddafi, in order to basically shut them up. Look, nothing's going on here. We're just taking out a bad guy. And it's just disturbing because if they're really that worried about a mobilization, anti-war mobilization, I really don't know. But how this develops is just beyond me.
I know, it's like, damn that Assad. I mean, he grabbed people who weren't even guilty and put them in a prison on a section of Cuba and tortured them for years and still won't. Oh wait, that's us.
Right, that's right. And you know, and you go back and Gaddafi and Assad both ran rendition sites for the CIA. Gaddafi was
so
playing a dirty game. He was trying to get back in, getting his accounts opened up and getting things going more smoothly, and even funded Sarkozy's campaign. And then Sarkozy stabbed him in the back. As far as I'm concerned, NATO is the preeminent war criminals in the world these days. And Sarkozy's got on a leave. He'll be back though. And then the other two primary operatives are Obama and Cameron. You know, and basically they're out to destroy every self-determinant government in the world who is protecting their citizenry from the IMF, World Bank, central bankers. You know, and that's these guys are just out to get everybody.
Thank you very much for your opinion.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You bet.
Number to call, 503-231-8187. Coming up this morning on KBOO at Air at 10 o'clock, Air Cascadia puts out the call for the release of radical lawyer Lynn Stewart from prison. A little information on that. She is asking for a compassionate release. Like Portland's Brandon Mayfield, she was targeted for daring to defend someone who was important to the anti-Arab propaganda of the United States. The details are she allowed him to put out a press release or helped him to do it. So what? The real reason is, of course, that she acted as a responsible lawyer, as did Brandon Mayfield. Remember Brandon? Remember the fingerprint on the bomb and the train and where the hell was it? Madrid. That couldn't possibly have been his and, of course, was not. And the ransacking of his house and his imprisonment. And it's all against anyone who dares say maybe it's not a good idea for the U.S. to continually go to war. By the way, that's my opinion. I'll bet it's yours. At 10:15, Flashpoints features a powerful speech by Angela Davis, who Richard Nixon hated so much. Angela Davis, given in April on Palestinian Prisoners Day. Man, that woman can speak. You should hear this. 10:15. At 11, Between the Covers, David Naiman interviews Lenore Zion about her debut novel, Stupid Children, a story inspired by Catherine Dunn's novel, Geek Love. And at 11:30, on the radio zine, Don Merrill speaks with reporter Jonathan Shoup about his new book, A Chance to Win. Thanks to KBOO members for your generous support. If you're not a KBOO member, please check out the KBOO website, kboo.fm. While you're there, click on Donate Today. While you're there, look at the schedule. I mean, we got some great stuff coming up on KBOO. I mean, just today, if I look at the schedule, let's say, I mean, I told you a few things are coming up this morning, but that's all part of the radio zine. After that, it's Music World Beat Connection, which is really great stuff. I mean, you just don't hear that kind of music elsewhere. Coming up at noon, World Beat Connection by DJ Charlie, followed by Africa Oye, more fantastic music, followed by 4 p.m. Democracy Now!, then the evening news, then Free Speech Radio News, then Tillicum Wawa, then Hard Knock Radio at 7, then Guess Who's Coming to Radio, excellent programming by Jamila. It's all, I mean, this, and I think that KBOO is a too well-kept secret. I think that, well, I've observed time and again over the years that when people find out about KBOO, they get really enthusiastic about it. So check out, you know, pull up kboo.fm and look what's there on the schedule. Click the schedule. Check that out. Number to call, 503-231-8187. Been trying to stop this war. I've been trying to shut down Monsanto. How are we going to do it? Mitch is on the air.
Yeah, I wanted to pick up where you riff on capitalism.
All right.
And it was in the context of Monsanto, but there was a piece actually that caught my eye last week in the mainstream media. It's one thing to hear the riff you did on capitalism on KBOO, but I started picking up signals within the temple of capitalism itself, namely the New York Times, that when corruption reaches critical mass, you can pick up the signals by the people covering the beat. And this woman, Gretchen Morgenson, in their business section on May 27th, 2013, had a piece written that sounds like it could have been written by someone at KBOO. It's titled Wall Street Lobbyists Writing the Reform Bills in Congress on the Dodd-Frank Banking Bill.
All right, Gretchen, I love you.
They're being invited in, and that the people who monitor Wall Street for a living and who have been calling for the architectural reform of the whole banking system, I mean, either nationalize the banks if the taxpayer is going to continue to foot the risk, or give them total free hand and let them bring down the economy as they did. But when someone like Gretchen Morgenson is writing a piece with this kind of, and she was quoting from the bills that well-known legislators of both the Democratic and Republican side had invited the lobbyists to insert into Dodd-Frank, I just think it tells us something. It's a signal, again, that even the people who are the great defenders of capitalism are worried that corruption has hit critical mass.
Oh, I think you're right, and I think they should be. Let me give you a related article on that. This is from Russia Today. Though the U.S. dollar continues to reign as a foreign reserve currency of choice, a new International Monetary Fund analysis shows that the currency has slumped to a 15-year low, heightening concerns that it may lose that status. While the dollar currently constitutes 62% of the $6 trillion in foreign holdings by the world's central banks, when a historical view is taken into account, the dollar's actual percentage of total money supply worldwide has gone from 90% in 1952 to about 15% today. And there's more on that article. But what they're saying is that let me quote this guy named Dick Bove. Generally speaking, it is not believed by the vast majority the American dollar will be overthrown, but it will be, and this defrocking may occur in as short a period as 5 to 10 years. The repercussions of the dollar's decline as a foreign currency holding of choice would be more than symbolic. With a budget deficit exceeding $1 trillion per year, if the dollar were to decline against other currencies, the U.S. would find itself in the uncomfortable position of having to pay back this debt. Boom.
And where's a large part of the debt, too, but our main
derivatives and those sneaky bastards who are writing that legislation. And hooray for Gretchen Morgenson, did you say,
for
exposing
it. May 27th, 2013, folks should have that in their arsenal, because sometimes having, you know, a quote or an entire article in depth, and she's been doing it for 3 years, from within the temple of capitalism itself,
sometimes
can carry
it's worth
more weight than Russia Today.
Right on. Yeah, sometimes it's worth printing out and sticking it on your wall.
And not to mention the fact that we in Oregon, we have got, you know, it's the habit of Congress to put junior members and senior Republicans on the Finance Committee. And I was very impressed that Jeff Merkley made it his business when he got elected senator to be the junior member on the Finance Committee.
Yeah, that's good, huh?
His office is over at the World Trade Center. And if there were actual protests out front in the heart of Portland's own banking sector, right there at the World Trade Center, I think that would get his staff's attention.
Okay,
and
I like that.
He might have a little more power, because the reason he's on the Finance Committee is because he's a junior senator, and he can hopefully the more responsible bankers can keep him on the reservation. But if we give him the strength, I mean, that's one thing we can do besides just complaining about Obama. Although it's interesting to compare how Obama has more effectively sabotaged the reform of the financial sector than Romney could have,
because he's so well accepted.
He's well accepted, but he's also, he makes himself out to look like, did you see him on the ground in khakis at Moore, Oklahoma? He just makes himself out with his rhetoric and his gestures to seem like a friend of the working man. And every appointment he makes from Penny Pritzker on is yet another betrayal of first working class African Americans, but of the working class in general.
I guess the only thing worse than a dumb American corporate president is a smart American corporate president.
I think we need to use this in the arsenal when we take to the streets, because I think there are a lot of people that the first part of a newspaper they tend to throw away is the business section, and the section they keep is the sports. So forget about Syria. They have no clue. And to be honest with you, Teresa, the left is kind of responsible for building this Assad monster, because for 20 years, the left only saw one malefactor in the Middle East, and that was Israel. And I kept saying, read the reports on the dungeons in Syria. I'm not saying stop criticizing Israel. I'm saying leverage it with a call for international community, not military action, but the kind of choking off what makes it profitable for Assad to be leading that country.
Well, you know, and I think that that information you just gave is very helpful in getting to that point where people can actually decide that it's worth taking action against this building war. Thank you very much for your call. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Now, I want to throw in a headline that I didn't get to that I just need to put in, and certainly you can call about this if you like, but blogger Mochizuki reports in his Fukushima Diary website that the owners of the Fukushima nuclear plant disaster are considering freezing the ground at the complex to stop the continuous circulation of radioactive groundwater, which is poisoning huge sections of Japan from under the ground, getting into fish miles away. On May 30th, a committee of experts at TEPCO suggested they stop groundwater flowing into the plant by freezing the ground. So the idea is to install freezing ducts underground to circulate the coolant material at negative 40 centigrade so that it freezes the soil around it. Currently, 400 tons of groundwater flow onto the plant on a daily basis, and guess what happens to it? TEPCO is running out of the contaminated water storage. They have vast farms of tanks where they're trying to hold this water, and when they can't do that, they're just discharging it into the sea. The cesium's getting into everything. It's getting into fish. The plan is to surround the reactors 1 through 4 by the underground wall of frozen soil for 1,400 meters. In other Japan radioactivity news, tea from the Chiba region has been found with radioactive cesium in it. Japanese tea, check it with your counter. Check it. Just check it. And number call, 503-231-8187, and Anita is on the air.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Thank you, Teresa. I deeply appreciate your show. Lysistrata, I think, was written by Aristophanes, though I missed your point on that one.
I was calling for a Lysistrata-like protest against Monsanto.
Okay, I'm all for that, however it can be arranged. Monsanto Protection Act federally went through at the end of March, but in Oregon, I believe, the Senate has passed it, but I think it's still in the House, and it might be possible to stop it there, but I'm not sure. You'd have to check the details on that. I'm hopeful that the country is so war-weary, because I think we are, that maybe we won't get into another war. I don't know, maybe I'm being naive, but it looks to me like Obama actually would prefer not to go to war in Syria. Am I reading something wrong here?
I don't know that you're reading anything wrong. I mean, I look at what he has done. Israel has been unhappy with him because he hasn't been gung-ho about their war plans, or at least publicly they have. And I guess the situation is complex enough. I keep thinking back when I wonder who's really the commander-in-chief when it comes to that sort of thing. I remember when Clinton effectively stopped the 1993 war that was going to happen against North Korea. There was this incident after that in which a evidently remote-controlled plane with a dead pilot and absolutely not one drop of fuel crashed into the White House, bang, as if there were not anti-aircraft defenses at the White House, as if their radar didn't work, as if. And boy, did he get the message. If you look at the way he acted after that, he was being very careful. He was kind of like being like, oh, well, let's just stick to bake sales and cheerleading.
Okay.
So who's in charge? I don't know, but whoever it is, I think we need to give them a message. No, no war.
And one last thing on the Monsanto thing, and one of your early callers was concerned about gluten. There is a book called Wheat Belly or something that says that it is dwarf high-yield wheat, which is the favorite of agribusiness, that appears to be the real culprit.
It's really made a difference for me to cut down on that stuff. I feel much better.
Bob's Red Mill does not use that variety for what it's worth.
All right. Thank you for that.
You're very welcome, and thanks again for your show.
You're welcome. Okay, I think I have time for one more call. And you get the last word, Don.
Hi, Teresa. Great show.
Thanks.
The other day there was a show devoted to race relations in Portland, and let me preface this by saying that it could be interpreted in various philosophical and ideological ways. But that aside, I'll just give the fact. I've been all over the United States in 40 years. I've lived in all sorts of different cities. And it's a fact that in proportion to the black population, the city becomes a crime-infested war zone. For example, in Philadelphia, and New Orleans, I'm not talking about that little island of the French Quarter.
Okay, I've heard that before, and I appreciate you for voicing it. I do have a response, and it is this. In the Warsaw Ghetto, in Nazi-occupied, in Nazi Berlin, before and during the Second World War, crime went out the roof. It was used as proof that Jews were bad people. Look how bad they are. They steal the clothes off each other. Because when you crush human beings, the reaction of a human being is usually not to become a saint. So there is no correlation between race and crime. There is a tremendous correlation between how oppressed a people are, and that has to do with race, and crime.
There's a lot of suppressed information that it's not environmental or sociological or even financial. Those are tremendous influences. But at the basis of it, for example, the book The Bell Curve.
Yeah, I'm sorry. The Bell Curve is racist horse hooey, and that's all I have to say about that. Thank you very much for your call. Stay tuned for more of the Incomparable Radio Zine on KBOO Portland.
Northwest Incorporated is proud to announce its 2013 official Pride schedule of events for June 9th through 16th. We have a full week of exciting happenings designed to showcase and celebrate the LGBTQ community, including a Star Trek theme party, a special film screening, a comedy showcase, and a Tony Award-winning musical. The week will conclude with the 43rd annual Portland Pride Waterfront Festival and Parade, June 15th and 16th at Tom McCall Park. More information about the Portland Pride Festival and Parade can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Particles on the Wall.
An exploration of the effects of nuclear technology on the Pacific Northwest and the world.
Particles on the Wall.
An exhibit of art, literary works, science, and historical memorabilia that describes the human and environmental impact of the Hanford Nuclear Reservation.
Particles on the Wall.
May 3rd through June 14th, second floor gallery in the EcoTrust building.
Particles on the Wall.
Co-sponsored by Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility and KBOO Community Radio.
Particles on the Wall.
Information can be found online at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the page under Community Events.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Thursday, May 30th, 2013, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. GMO wheat in Oregon? Yeah, but we're asking all the wrong questions. The right questions to ask are, how come it took 10 years for it to show up, and where else has it been in the meantime? And secondly, why did Monsanto decide to cancel this particular program in the first place? There must have been something very, very wrong for the genetically engineering juggernaut to decide to cancel the project. That is the strange part. That's what we should be looking at. And today, of course, is the call-in day on behalf of Radical Attorney Lynn Stewart, who is currently in Carswell. It's a communication management unit, and she is in an advanced late-stage cancer at the moment. So today's a call-in day. We'll be speaking with Noel Hanrahan with the Prison Radio Project, and also with Ralph Pointer. We'll be back. Lynn Stewart's husband. He'll be joining us once again. We also have a report on the Resistance Ecology Conference, which just wound up. And let's not forget, further afield, in Iraq, where we may have made a massive mess of people's lives and stirred up sectarian violence that has never been seen before. We forget that those people have lives to live too and lives to lose as well. 20 deaths were reported yesterday, and of course many more in the offing. First this from the National Weather Service. For today, showers likely, mostly cloudy, highs near 64, and we've got mild south winds, 5 to 7 miles per hour. For tonight, we could get a few showers, though it seems to be clearing up. Lows around 49. Tomorrow, overcast, clearing to become sunny later in the afternoon. Looking for highs around 70, so the warm summer weather is coming back. Calm winds, 5 to 7, and for tomorrow night, partly overcast, lows around 51, not much in the way of wind. Looking at the alternative forecast, it's the last quarter root moon in Capricorn. The moon's 20 days old. The synodic forecast is they say that this is not a good time to be sowing anything in the garden. Instead, use the time to weed and harvest. It's an excellent time to start building a new compost heap. Isn't it always so? Of course, this being a waning moon, this is probably why a lot of the systems that rely on the movements of the moon are advising not to plant right now. Moon in Capricorn, it's an earth sign, it's a good time to sow root plants though. And the sidereal forecast, moon in Capricorn, potatoes and tubers planted now will have a strong growth. That's it for the alternative forecast as well as the conventional forecast. We're going to be speaking now with Justin Workman, who has got a report for us on the, I believe it's just wound up, the